Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air. All you gotta do is put a
drink in my hand. That's what she said.
Crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings.
That just happened.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
It's the Cyclone Fanatic Collins Show live from Kippy's Place in Elkhart with your hosts Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Get your questions in by calling 515-284-5966. Now, here's Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Collins Show. Of course, we are at Kippy's Place in Elkhart, as we are each and every Thursday night throughout the college football season. Welcome aboard here for the next hour. We'll be talking Cyclones. We'll be talking the Big 12. As you all know, is a bye week for the Iowa State Cyclones. So we take this week and do a little housekeeping. We talk about some things that we might not normally talk about here on the program. And you know what, Brent Bloom, it's a bye week, but we've always got stuff to hash out here. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be here. Yeah, college football season never stops.
No.
Cyclone Fanatic here at Kippy's Place or anywhere else.
Actually got a really good game tonight. We got this we got BYU and Boise tonight. Did you see the end of that game last week, that Utah-BYU game?
That was crazy.
You had the crowd running out on the field. It was like that band game.
And I got to give credit to the officials.
Of course you do.
You know I love the officials.
Absolutely.
That was a Big 12 crew, Greg Burks' crew. They're from the Big 12.
Oh, man.
And they nailed it. I mean, you can't have the fans running on the field during the middle of the game. So they gave them a 15-yard penalty, gave them another shot. But luckily for Utah, it didn't matter.
Well, without those fans, those officials wouldn't even have a job, Brent. They need to remember that. Hey, and if you're new to the program, if you're new to Brent Bloom's commentary, the man loves officials. So
except the replacement refs.
Except the replacement refs, and we can get into that at another time. But if you hear us say something tonight, if you're annoyed with one of us, give us a call. We'd love to argue with you at 515-284-5966. Brent, we got a lot to catch up on tonight. I think we do a little bit of housekeeping in the Big 12, though, because Billy Gillespie just resigned
at
Texas Tech as far as basketball goes. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and you tell me if I'm correct or incorrect here as we start off with hoops. That program is going to be a cesspool in the Big 12 for years and years to come. This could take 5-6 years, unless they get an immediate recruiter who's going to go in there and cheat. I'm sorry, but that's the truth.
You're right.
I mean, they took a huge risk in hiring Billy Gillespie in the first place, and then the guy comes up here, and after 1 year, he's, according to the report, has resigned due to health reasons, but we all know what has gone down the last couple of weeks. This is a total mess. Not going to be good for recruiting, and they're in a heap of trouble. I mean, with the new Big 12, it could be 5, 6, 7 years before that team is competitive again.
And the funny part is, when Iowa State hired Fred Hoiberg, the popular choice on your message board, Billy Gillespie.
Yeah, and that.
Thank goodness that didn't happen.
He was behind the scenes really pushing to get his name out there in the media.
He absolutely tried.
He was trying to use the media to get his name out there. I know that numerous places.
But you're right. That's a tough place to win. Anyway, now you consider that
no basketball tradition at all, really.
What Bobby Knight did there was fairly remarkable. They had one good year in the 90s with Tony Battee and Darvin Ham. Okay, we're talking like 96.
Yeah.
Way back.
That was
then.
Around the Bam Morris days in football.
In football.
For Texas Tech.
Around there. But from there, from 97 until Bob Knight got there, they were awful. I mean, they weren't awful, but they were just.
They were always below average.
10th to 12th in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Never really a factor in anything. Bob Knight gets there. They make, I think, four straight NCAA tournaments. With that team is very impressive. But now, with Billy Gillespie's there, they were horrible anyway. Now he's there. Everyone doesn't like him. You don't have any players. Any players you have now left. Yeah. That's just it's a problem. It'll be at least 3-4 years.
And there's not tradition, I mean, for like a guy to want to take that job over. They're right. going to have to open up the checkbook big time.
And if you compare it to Iowa State, you say, well, Fred Hoiberg didn't have anything when he got to town, which is true. But Fred Hoiberg had the support of everybody, and he was a native son, and everybody gathered around Fred. He got those transfers, and he was a name. I don't know if there's a name in Texas Tech who could bring people in.
No.
They don't have any tradition that you can rally behind.
That guy would be Pat Knight, and we all saw how that worked out.
We saw what happened to him. I mean, if you think about it, they would have been better off keeping Pat Knight.
Absolutely, no question about that.
But they didn't. They Gillespie made sense at the time. It wasn't happening. He's a toxic person, and unfortunately, that either goes really well or goes really poorly. And for Texas Tech, it goes really poorly. But you can earmark them for 12th. I guess not 12th anymore.
TCU's still 10th. In the conference.
TCU's in the conference, but they hired Trent Johnson from LSU, who's a good coach.
I still think they could have done better.
Maybe, but he had success at Stanford, got them to a Sweet 16, was turning around LSU, was taking a while.
Didn't he lead LSU to the Final Four?
Or
was close to.
That was not him.
I thought that was him.
I don't think it was him.
I thought it was him.
No, it was Coach Brady before him.
Okay.
But
I'll take your word for it, encyclopedia.
I think TCU's closer than Texas Tech is, but they are still 9-10 in the conference.
Well, you mentioned Billy Gillespie being a toxic human being. Here's a guy who's not toxic. There's not a toxic ounce of whatever inside of Tron Smith's body. All the guy does is work out and drink protein shakes. Tron Smith, Wilson Toyota of Ames, welcome to the program. If we can get Tron's mic turned on, that'd be outstanding.
You know, I'm hoping that at some point here at Kippy's Place tonight, I can find something toxic to put in my system. But, yes, right now I'm pure. It's
You're looking dapper today.
Yeah, what's up with this, man? You got the suit still on.
Selling cars?
Last week when I came in, Bloom was, you know, he could have came out of GQ magazine. So I figured I better come. But then, wait a minute, I get here, and, man, I don't know what is this, Williams? I mean, what is that hat?
Well,
I mean,
I've been golfing.
Is that what you've been doing?
Team Cyclone Fanatic played in a golf outing today.
Oh.
I just got news. We placed second. Story of my life.
Well, that's cool. You guys are first place losers.
We are first place losers. I wanted to start tonight, guys, with the story that kind of broke out earlier in the week. I didn't think it was that big of a deal when it came out, but evidently people on CycloneFanatic.com absolutely did. And if you want to chime in on this, we'd love to hear from you on the Hy-Vee hotline at 515-284-5966. It's the fact that Northern Iowa and Iowa State have come to an agreement where they are going to play 7 out of the next 11 seasons. And, you know, fired some Cyclone fans up. I think for the most part, I think if you would probably pull, and maybe this is a little extreme, but I think if you pull most of the fan base, a very small minority of people are the ones who are always constantly complaining at CycloneFanatic.com. But nonetheless, there's some pretty harsh opinions from fanatics not wanting to schedule Northern Iowa if you're Iowa State for multiple reasons. I think one of the reasons, obviously, is that Northern Iowa is a quality program. You know, when they come to Jack Trice Stadium, it's not going to be like you saw last week with Western Illinois coming to town when you're going to get your freshmen in the game. In some years it's going to be the case, but that's not always the case when Northern Iowa comes to town. Part two, there's been some, over the last 2-3 years, I would say ever since Paul Rhodes got to town, Northern Iowa's head coach, Mark Farley, has made some comments. I don't think they're direct shots at Iowa State, but I think Iowa State fans have taken some of these comments, rightfully so. I think that they've taken some of those to heart. They don't want to schedule Northern Iowa because of that. So I'll ask you guys, I want to get your opinion on that. I'll give you mine here after a little bit, but I'll start with you, Tron. You're kind of shaking your head a little bit. Do you schedule Northern Iowa 7 out of 11 years? Do you like it? You like keeping the money in state? Or what's your take on it?
I'll take them. Here's the deal. If I play Western teams like the team we played last week, before I really get to Big 12, I don't know what type of team that I have. You know, when I'm playing talent like that, yeah, I may see my third stream guys in, but really I don't know how my team's going to react when we're down 14 or we're down 21. Not saying UNI is going to do that, but listen, even though the conference they're coming out of, this is a pretty good ball club. And UNI, the thing I like about that program is that every time they come in, whether it's Jack Trice or it's Kinnick Stadium, they believe and they have confidence confidence that they can beat that team. I have no problem with playing this team, you know, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. I think it's a good match for Iowa State. Like I said, I want to know what type of team I have. I want to know how well my offense is going to perform against an okay defense. I'm going to find out how well my defense is against an okay offense. That's the only way you're going to do that, because the team we watched them play last week was no challenge at all.
But don't you want that, though, if you're playing a Big 12 schedule? I mean, don't you want an opportunity to get a Devondrick Neely in the game, to get some of those defensive linemen in the game? I mean, because you're already playing non-conference games, whereas a lot of teams around the country, they've got the four non-conference games. You've already, and if you look forward to Iowa State's schedule, I mean, man, you got road trips to Toledo. You've got, you know, teams like that. You got a road trip to Tulsa. You got to go to San Jose State in a few years.
If you play the talent that we played last week, three games before you get in the Big 12 Conference, what type of team do you have?
I don't really care. It's a win.
But the point is, you don't know. You know what I mean?
You're going to find out in those other non-conference games is my point.
What I'm saying, you're only getting three.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've already got Iowa, and that's going to be.
We saw that this year. It's like playing Western Illinois. It's no different.
Well, you only won by three, Tron. I mean, come on. Let's keep it real. Brent,
you're shaking your head. But we shot ourselves in. Anyway, that was an old game. The point is, you got to find out who you're playing.
We learned nothing last week.
Thank you.
Absolutely nothing. There was nothing.
Why is that? Neely's fast. That's what we learned.
What did we learn about Florida State then?
Nothing. That's what I'm saying. Like, Florida State's way overrated because they haven't beaten anybody.
But here's my problem. Why does Iowa State get criticized for playing Western Illinois? Everybody in the country is doing this.
Oh, you can't
win. They're building in a victory.
Central Michigan.
Iowa State's more,
but
though.
Central Michigan has 85 scholarships. That's not
even
close.
Saying. I mean, I'm talking about talent-wise. They're not a good ball.
You get one game a year against an FCS team.
Yes.
Why not play a team in state? You know you're going to have a huge crowd.
I agree with that.
You have a huge crowd. Always. Yeah. Even when Iowa State was not drawing 55,000 like they are now, mm-hmm. you and I always brought in 50-plus. It remains the largest crowd in Jack Trice history, the U and I game in 2006. So they bring in a huge crowd all the time. It's a competitive game. You find out where you are. And sometimes the football program is part of the bigger state of things, and it keeps the money in state. And U and I struggles financially as an athletic program. It is in Iowa State's best interest to keep them around.
I agree.
And by giving them a $500,000 paycheck or whatever it is, $1 million, why not give that to an in-state team rather than some school from Illinois?
I will say this. I completely agree with that. I mean, if it's up to me, if I'm Jamie Pollard, I keep Northern Iowa on the schedule too. But what I'm arguing is the argument that it doesn't do you any good to have a Western Illinois on your schedule. It absolutely does.
Well, it gives you
a win.
You
get a win.
It's a bye week, basically. I mean, it really is. If you need to rest to Jeff Woody, you can rest to Jeff
Woody. About it being a bye week.
But that's different. Well, Louisiana Monroe has 85 scholarships.
The point that I'm saying is, They went into that game with the intentions of it being a bye week, is what I'm saying. Here's the point.
And they got burned.
Let me ask you this. This is my question to you, because you seem pretty adamant. Maybe you're just taking a firm stand as to where you are. Are you afraid of this game?
No, I'm not afraid of it at all.
I mean, I read CycloneFanatics.com. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I read was fans saying, we could get beat
you
by
you know what a lot of I read Illinois, reminded Illinois. Me of was 10 years ago when Iowa didn't want to play Iowa State.
It's the exact same mindset
that Iowa State fans and again, I'm not arguing at all here, gentlemen, that Iowa State should not play Northern Iowa. That's not where I'm going. My argument is against the people saying, oh, well, you know, you didn't get challenged. That tells you absolutely nothing. Basically what you two just said, I'm fine with that, because the way that the Big 12 is set up right now, where you only have three non-conference games, you need a couple guaranteed W's in there, especially when one of those three games is against a Big 10 school.
Definitely. However, when you get 6-7 home games, you want them to be quasi-interesting. I can't tell anybody. I mean, it was fun to watch Devondrick Neely, but
that's a poor argument, in my opinion, because every Big 12 game is more than quasi-interesting.
I know.
Iowa every other year, and it's not like they're going out and scheduling two Western Illinois. You're getting a Tulsa. You're getting a Toledo. I mean, these are quality mid-major programs.
That's fine, but you get one game against an FCS team. Why not have you and I? Because there is some interest there. You will beat them.
I agree.
You will beat them 95% of the time.
Now, that's a fair point. That's the smartest thing you've said all day, boy.
Probably in my life. Don't say much.
Hey, if you you disagree, give us a call. Hy-Vee Hotline, 515-284-5966.
The other issue is, and I agree with the Iowa State fans who do not like the fact that Mark Farley
correct
treats Iowa State like they're a second-tier program in the state. He's openly said that Iowa is the marquee program.
Multiple times.
And do we want to reward him as the CEO of that football program by essentially funding him and their team? I don't know.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you the stands that I'm going to take. I'm going to stand and I'm going to be, from Iowa State standpoint, hopefully some of the coaches are thinking the way that I think right now. Bloom, if you think you can take me, there's nothing between you and I but space and opportunity. Come and prove it. That's what this is saying to me. Listen, Coach Farley, you're going to come out here
and you're going to talk to us
like we're some mid-major, whatever the case you want to call us. I'm right up the street in Jack Trice Stadium. I'm waiting on you. My team's waiting on you. We'll see you. That's what is that's the way I take it.
And there's a lot of a lot of that stuff that Paul Rhodes can use in the future, definitely. I mean, you shouldn't need to motivate. Jake McDonough said it best before last week's game. You only get 12 of these a year.
There you go.
Sure.
John, you had an injury. I mean, you could blow your knee out next week and never be able to run out in front of 55,000. Absolutely, they all count.
And the best part with playing you and I is you can beat Iowa fans twice.
Exactly. I think we touched on that last week, too. Yeah. I mean, they're all Hawks. Every single – I've met one U and I fan in my life that's a Cyclone fan on the side.
They don't call them the Purple Hawks.
Unless, come on. Keep it in mind. I mean, the Hawkeye fans, they got to have a basketball team to root for.
That's good stuff. 515-284-5966. Might get a few calls after that one. Hey, want to remind everybody, too, if you're coming back from Jack Trice Stadium, especially with these night games, you bring your ticket stub. You can bring it in here to Kippy's, and Tim will give you a free beer.
If you bring my ticket stub,
you get a free beer if you come in here to Kippy's place in Elkhart.
Is that retroactive to just Saturday night? It's Thursday. I still have my ticket from Saturday.
I think Tim will probably honor it. I would think so. But we did
get a free beer out of the deal, Tim.
Do we honor that, Tim, or does it have to be after the game? It's got to be after. All right. Tim's shooting you down.
That's all right.
Tim's shooting you down.
I'll still drink a beer.
Bring it
anyway.
Into Kippy's place here after the game, though. And I actually saw, too, we got a concert coming up after Saturday's game. There'll be a concert going on here.
The next Saturday.
Well, that works out even better then because Iowa State won't have a home game. So that's perfect. Again, though, bring those ticket stubs in here to Kippy's place in Elkhart. A couple other news and notes I wanted to go over. There's a thread on CycloneFanatic.com right now. I don't know a whole lot about it. As I mentioned, I was in that golf outing earlier today. But, Brent, and you can confirm this through your own sources, unnamed sources, of course.
Which is television.
supposedly Iowa State Texas Tech is a top five choice to be the host of College Game Day next week from ESPN. I don't buy this for a second. Come on, man. Tron, give it to me.
No.
Give me a come on, man, Tron.
Come on, man.
Is this true?
It's not me reporting this. ESPN has a college football show.
Really?
And every day, it's College Football Daily, right?
My boy Matt Stick is the host. He's an Omaha guy, Tron.
They said today that they're down to five games. They plan these in advance. Five possible destinations for College Game Day, which is with Fowler and Herb Street and Corso. And Iowa State and Texas Tech was on the list. Now, some of the other games there are much more marquee games than Iowa State.
They're just kind of teasing us, aren't they?
But at least it's nice to be in the Final Five. It's kind of like sometimes you don't win Miss America, but at least you get, like fourth runner-up or something. They're in the conversation. What gives Iowa State some hope is – Kirk Herbstreit, Saturday night game that week, is in Nebraska, in Lincoln.
Who do they play?
I'm not sure. Ohio State, maybe? Don't know that for sure.
No, because that game's in Columbus this year.
Okay, well, whoever they play on the that week from Saturday, you can probably look that up. But you don't want him to be flying cross-country. And so if you can host the show in a short plane ride, it's better than going.
So they're just scheduling game day around Herb Street's schedule now.
You're going to stand on it. Yeah, I agree.
No, they don't do it every week. But you don't want the guy flying from Florida to Stanford.
No, Nebraska, Wisconsin. Nebraska, Wisconsin.
That's the ABC primetime game.
That's the game of the week nowadays? Good gosh.
Chris, look at the college football schedule for next Saturday.
That's trash.
There's not much.
I mean, that's two.
At the time, though, when they scheduled this,
yeah, I buy
the that. The Big Ten does things more in advance than the Big 12. That was the primetime game.
Jeez, wow. Louise.
So what else is out there, though? That's why Iowa State, two undefeated teams. You do not have many next Saturday.
All right.
Two undefeated.
So there you have it.
You got
here.
Baylor, West Virginia.
It is less than 1% chance of that happening, but
wow.
They are in the conversation.
Brent Bloom's calling it. Game day in Ames coming up next week. You know what
Ohio
else will be?
Ohio State, Michigan State that week,
now,
too.
I know. They'll probably do the Ohio State, Michigan State game. I agree, Tron. However, if it comes down to who gets this north side of the Jacobson building, the Wilson Toyota Cyclone Fanatic call-in show, or game day,
I mean,
who wins?
I got one question. Who's going to move us?
At this point,
who's
going to
move us?
Who brings more exposure? I mean, I think it's the Wilson Toyota call-in show.
I was just concerned for you guys. I think we measure arms. and Williams' arms will just put us over.
Yeah, I could probably post up Corso.
I will arm wrestle Kirk Herbstreit. All right, we got to take a break, guys. But that call-in show, the Wilson Toyota call-in show, you know, we're going to be on the air. 6 o'clock start, right? So
yes.
The Cyclone Radio Network will go on the air at
4 o'clock.
So we're on at 3, right there from the Wilson Toyota stage. Stop on.
So I guess you could share it with game day because but they're there the whole day. Maybe not. We'll see if Tron wants to be friendly.
That's not going to happen.
It depends on how much food they have.
That Wilson Toyota preview show, of course, is brought to you by Channel Seed Seedsmanship. It is about being in your fields, giving you expert advice, and, of course, recommending the elite seed products to help maximize your profitability. Find your local Channel Seedsman at channel.com. When we come back, we are going to do the Jeremy Jordan Insurance Recruiting Insider. Got a little hoops recruiting we're going to talk about today, a little football as well. Back with more after this. Yeah, we're at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Stop on by. I have one of the best burgers in the world. It's the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show on 1460 KXNO. Hey, Cyclone Fanatics. Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this. They know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They're the absolute best. That's Mr. B Clothing for men and women, located on 86th Street in Clive.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
The Cyclone Fanatic Thursday night call-in show is back for the 2012-13 Iowa State athletic season, and it's better than ever. I'm Chris Williams. Join Brent Bloom, Tron Smith, and me every Thursday night from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO, as we'll be talking Cyclones, the Big 12, and so much more from Kippy's Place in Elkhart, home of the best burgers in the world. This is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you every Thursday from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO.
Protect those you care about this flu season. Talk to your Hy-Vee pharmacy about flu shots for your family. The single best way to prevent the flu is to get vaccinated each year. And flu shots are now recommended for everyone over the age of 6 months. Keep your family healthy and smiling. Talk to your Hy-Vee pharmacist today about flu shots. Your Hy-Vee pharmacy, where convenience meets care.
Just can't get enough sports? Then it's time you check out KXNO online at KXNO.com or at Facebook.com/KXNOAM. You can also follow KXNO on Twitter along with your favorite show hosts. Away from your radio? No problem. Take KXNO with you on the go with the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone or iPad. Just go to iHeartRadio.com to download the app for free today. More ways to get your 24/7 sports fix from Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Hey, welcome back to Kippy's Place here in Elkhart. My mouth is watering right now because I'm thinking about one of those Kippy's burgers. Hey, Tron, you have created the Big Strong Burger.
Oh, man.
Is that what we... Big Strong 2Gs.
2Gs. Hey, we don't work on 1Gs around here.
No, we
two
got 2Gs.
But I'm telling you, hey, you know...
What is on the Big Strong Burger?
Did you see this thing last week?
It's bigger than my head.
Oh, man. I tell you, everybody was asking me. I was
it's not pot. Nothing's bigger than Brent Bloom's head. Trust me.
That's really mean. It's a great burger. You know what? That's what you should have tonight. Can you handle it?
I can't handle it.
You can't handle the Big Strong?
I can't.
Is that on the menu by any way?
It would be a disaster.
I think you can ask for it. However, I did have their burger last week after the show, and it received a lot of hype beforehand. But it's one of those few things that lived up. I'd say it's the Mike Trout of burgers. It was good, man.
Speaking of that, after we do the Jeremy Jordan agency recruiting insider,
he plays for the Angels.
We need to talk about Bloom's the ridiculous column that Brent wrote earlier in the week at CycloneFanatic.com. We do need to rehash that, and I do need to ask Brent some questions about it. Hey, it is now time for the Jeremy Jordan agency recruiting insider here on the Cyclone Fanatic call-in show. Jeremy Jordan agency is located down Locust Street in downtown Des Moines. Nationwide Insurance. I have been with Nationwide Insurance for about 3 years now. My good friend Adam Graves, now a Cyclone Fanatic, he moved me on over to Jeremy Jordan, and I have just been ecstatic with the service. I mean, it's just been top of the line. And I can't tell you how much money, for real. I'm not just saying this because this is my deal, guys. I don't endorse something unless I truly believe in it. There's been opportunities before that I've shot down. And Tron, I mean, you've worked with Nationwide, and you worked with Adam. Brent, this is where you get your insurance through, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It's the real deal. So give them a call at 515-323-5654. Again, 515-323-5654. Quite a bit to talk about recruiting-wise. I posted a fairly in-depth, what we call it a mid-September football recruiting roundup earlier on the week at CycloneFanatic.com. Iowa State right now, with up to 17 football commitments for the 2013 class. Those are ones that we know about. Recruiting is a kind of a fickle thing. You just don't really know what's going to happen. But due to my calculations, guys, if you go and check out our scholarship chart at Cyclone Fanatic, when you factor in Adam Pavlenko, the linebacker who has left the program, Iowa State has 22 scholarships to fill. Again, 17 known verbal commitments. If you go strictly by that number, now we've got 5 scholarships open for this class at this point. Now, let's be realistic. It never works out that way. There's always a couple guys who leave or get injured or, you know, transfer, stuff like that. I got the number at around 24 where I think this class is going to end up. Recently got a new wide receiver commitment. That one came earlier in the week. Brian, I'm going to butcher it, Ejimobi. We're going to just go with that, from South Grand Prairie, Texas. He committed earlier in the week. So, again, 17 really kind of broke this recruiting class down as well. And I think that probably going to be defensive front seven focused from here on out. Oh, big deal. That's what always happens when it comes to football recruiting at Iowa State. Brent, I got hammered from this one guy. He was firing at me. Something I commonly say, Iowa State's not going to get Nick Fairley. They're not going to get Ndamukong Suh. You know why? No, it's not because I'm selling Iowa State short. It's because I'm being realistic, and I know that there's maybe one or two of those guys, defensive tackle, defensive end, that talent-wise, in every recruiting class. It's the toughest position to recruit in all of college football. It always has been. It always will be. So you got to find guys at Iowa State, and you've got to build them up. You got to coach them up so you can play 12 deeps, just like you're seeing at Iowa State this year. Iowa State loses 4 defensive tackles This year, due to graduation, they have zero commitments at that position. They lose two defensive ends, one commitment. They got to do some work recruiting-wise at the defensive line position. They do have some young talent, guys who are redshirting this year who you really like. Colin Bevins, I love that kid from Creston, Iowa. But again, I think that's where they're going to have to do some work. And, of course, with Pavlenko leaving, you got Klein and not leaving. Yep. You've only got five linebackers, scholarship, who are due to be in the program next year. So I think that's a focus from here on out.
It has to be, and they're obviously well aware of that.
Absolutely. They got
more
a plan.
More so than anybody else. But the front seven is hard to recruit, especially that defensive line. But if you can get guys there, that's when Iowa State has had their best teams. I mean, you think about the vaunted 2005 defense. What made that team good was that defensive line. This year, what's been the main improvement on the defense? It's the same guys really in the back seven.
Yep.
I mean, you exchange a Leonard Johnson for a Jansen Watson, and you take Taron Benton out, put in Darrell Givens in. Those guys are pretty equal.
Yep.
But why this defense is better than it has been the last 2 years is those guys up front have matured. And you're throwing a big Jake McDonough at 300 pounds. Cleon Lang's been great at 300 pounds as well. The interior defensive line is what makes the defense go. So when Iowa State has been successful, you even go back to that 2000 team when they won nine games. You had James Reed up front along with Jordan Karstens. Those were NFL guys. Mm-hmm. When Iowa State's been good, they've had defensive linemen, but it is so hard to find those guys.
And that's why I'm always – I think the debate that we could have – and we need more time with this year's team.
Sure.
But I think the whole – 2012 defense versus 2005 is a fascinating debate.
Because
I think, obviously, linebackers are better in 2012.
Yep.
I think the secondary is actually fairly comparable with the two.
It was a good secondary in
2005.
But it's
the defensive line. You've got the depth here on this year's team.
Still don't have the pass rush.
You still don't have Jason Berryman. And
Sean Moorhead, too.
Brent Curvey, maybe a comparison there to Jake McDonough. They're different type of defensive tackles, but I'm saying production-wise, they could be the same. That's what I think 5 weeks from now when we have this comparison, I think we'll have a much clearer idea which one was better.
Back to talking about playing Northern Iowa. That's what you're talking about right now. Playing the talent before you get into Big 12 play tells you who you are. I mean, I'm still there. Mentally, I'm still thinking about that whole conversation. I'm just saying, you bring up the defensive, I'm just saying, I'm still there. That's
well,
what you don't
I,
find
I think
out.
Obviously, hopefully, it gets to a point where, you know, if Iowa State's program is to where people want it to be, I think playing Northern Iowa, it's not going to be like Western Illinois because Northern Iowa is a good program.
Yeah.
But it should be a 30-point win every year. I mean, they are an FCS team with 20 fewer scholarships. It's not disrespect. It's the way it should be.
Do you know what will help Iowa State's recruiting on the defensive line? If Jake McDonough, and I think he can, makes an impact in the NFL,
yeah.
I think he could be drafted after this year.
I agree.
That's the missing link between Iowa State and really getting those big-time players is getting that NFL rep. Because they just don't. They don't have many guys drafting the NFL. And is that a reputation thing? Is it a production thing? Whereas Iowa has had success getting defensive linemen drafted in the NFL, and they have been able to pull in your 3-4-star guys because of that, because they can say, hey, look, we've got Adrian Claiborne in the NFL. We've got Christian Ballard in the NFL. We've got these guys, Babineau in the NFL.
Yep.
Where Iowa State hasn't had a defensive lineman in the NFL. I mean, they had Reggie Hayward there for a while.
Carson.
They had Carson's play for 3 or 4 years, but since then they really haven't had anybody in that spot. And high school kids want to know, can I get to the NFL? And I think if McDonough can get there, that'd be a big step.
Klein and not, too.
It helps everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps absolutely. And that's why those three guys will have not only an impact on this season, but I think far-reaching, because you can point to those. Hey, look, Jake Knott's a first-day pick in the NFL.
Hey, guys, let's go to the Hy-Vee hotline. Jake calling from Ames wants to join into the conversation. Hi, Jake, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing outstanding. Thank you for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, just wanted to talk about the UNI series a little bit.
Yeah, what's up?
You know, my feeling on that as a Cyclone fan is, bottom line, when I walked into the stadium on Saturday, I knew we were not going to get beat. And as an Iowa State fan, we never – ever get a feel that way. And with the 9-game Big 12 schedule that we play every year along with Iowa, no matter how good we are, we are going to have to scratch and claw to get the 6 wins every year. So I would have no problem playing a lesser 1-AA team. But just going to hang up and let you guys talk about that. Go State.
Thanks, Jake. We appreciate the phone call. Jake there on the Hy-Vee hotline. I agree with him. He's not saying anything derogatory about Northern Iowa. He's
That's
right.
a compliment to you and
yeah,
I.
Yeah,
absolutely it is. I don't think that Jake's scared. I didn't take it that way. I just think that, you know, in the history of Iowa State football, he's right. There's not too many times you walk into Jack Trice thinking, man, I can't wait to watch the freshman running back.
Well, here's my take on it. Here's my take on it, though. I want to watch the turn, and that's what I'm seeing with Iowa State. Not just football, all the programs. When we went to Kinnick this year, I walked in Kinnick as an Iowa State fan confident that we were going to leave with a win. Okay, how many times
we all
can you
were
say
this
that?
Year, don't you
I know,
think?
But what I'm saying is when you continue to play, you know, the UNIs, because technically what Farley is saying is I'm better than Iowa State. Let's just be blunt about it. That's basically what the guy is saying. I'm going to go down there. I believe that I can beat this program every time we're in Jack Trice.
As he should.
That's the way he feels. Yep. That's why you get a lot of the comments that you get. I'm watching the turn, and what I mean by that is I believe that this coaching staff is saying, listen, I want to play UNI because to me in the program that I'm going to run, UNI is going to be just like the Western Illinois. We're going to be able to – my fans are going to come in and know that we're going to win this ball game by 35 points. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, my question to you was just – I was just pulling a chain when I said, are you scared? I think this coaching staff is saying – we're going to have what it takes to bring this school in and treat them like a Western.
And to be honest, I think it has less to do with the coaching staff and more to do with just the overall politics of everything. I mean, Northern Iowa's got bills to pay, and this is a way to keep the money. They do. It's been well documented.
It's a Board of Regents issue, really.
Yeah, it's more political, I think, than it is football.
Although I don't know then why Iowa can't go on and off with Iowa State. Because it's really the same situation.
Yeah, but
why
that's
does Iowa State
a
play
thing? Wouldn't you think
a little bit? But Iowa State's playing them 7 of 11. I think in those off years they do play
Iowa
4.
Yeah,
I don't know why it's not 50-50.
It should be. Yeah, if it's a Board of Regents thing, like we're
at the end of the day, it does bring in a big crowd. And
but Iowa State's not going to have to worry about that. In
I don't know.
The future.
I mean,
it's just 55,000 for Western
Chris,
Illinois.
Chris, I'm just saying, 11 years from now, we do not know where this program is. If they're the add 15,000 seats in the south end zone 8 years from now, you have to sell those tickets.
Well, let me talk to you as a vendor, as a local business guy from Wilson Toyota. I would tell you this. I'll take Northern Illinois and Iowa every year for the simple fact that these guys that are coming to watch this game that may come the night before or may come early for a
That's
late
the other
game,
part of it.
I get the opportunity possibly for them to come into my establishment and to spend money and
That's
to give
point,
me that
Sean.
Opportunity. They're local people. I'm going to have that opportunity.
That's a good point.
And Jake, the caller, called in, makes a great point that there has maybe been never – a time where you walked into Jack Trice knowing that you're going to win a game by 4 touchdowns. And that's the way everybody was going into Saturday. It's fun for one game, but I don't know if that's what you want every year.
I don't think –
it's just
as long as you're winning 7-8 games a year, if they get to that point, I don't think fans will complain.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but I like going into a game maybe because we're used to being underdogs at Iowa State knowing that there is a possibility that things may not go well and you could lose. I don't know.
I don't like that. I would rather be the opposite. I would rather feel the way Florida State
just,
played
you just
against
want to be a Florida State.
Savannah
yeah, that's fine.
State the other day. Back to the Jeremy Jordan Agency recruiting insider that we got a little off topic. I just wanted to touch on a little basketball nugget. Seemed to really spark some interest at CycloneFanatic.com earlier this week where I reported I'd heard some rumblings about a junior college big man out of the College of Southern Idaho. His name is Billy Reeder. Played for Montana. He's been at Montana the last couple years. Transferred, according to some reports that I dug up on the internet due to some academic reasons. Listen, this caused a huge stink. I don't even know if Iowa State's offered. I've tried to get a hold of Reeder for the last couple of weeks to do some reporting on that. He's a 6'9", 220-pound sophomore. Doesn't have striking numbers, Brent, but what stood out to me, saw a little bit on him, he seems a little bit of a nasty defender. He seems to me like a guy who, you know, I don't want to go down on that guy's lane. A little bit of like Homan Vroman-esque attitude type. I'd like that addition for the 13 team. I don't know about you. I think that's what this program has been. You put a guy like that next to Craig Brackens a few years ago, it's really what he lacked when he was at Iowa State. So a physical defensive presence, I don't think you can ever have too many of those guys.
No, and I think that's a question for this year's team, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, Royce White was good, but he also had a little nasty in him.
Yeah, the stink factor.
Right. I'm not going in there, Royce. Sorry, man. You know, that type of deal. Or the McDermott teams always lack that enforcer type. You need one of those guys. And you have 13 of these scholarships using one on a 6'9", 240-pound guy who's a mean guy.
JUCO,
in the
it's a two-year deal.
That's not a horrible deal. And they're going to need a guy with another size. I mean, the Amari commitment's a good one for 2013. But that team still lacks size. You have Percy Gibson, who is a good offensive player. I don't know if he's ever going to be an enforcer in the paint.
Who's going to rebound on
that
team?
Exactly. And Melvin Edgem, I love Melvin's game, but he's still 6'6".
He's still undersized.
And he's still going to have trouble when you play in Oklahoma this year, who's going to throw 6'9", 6'8", both guys 250, 260 pounds. Melvin can't guard that other post.
And you're talking about a George Niang. He's not a physical guy.
And he's not a physical guy either. He's going to be a productive guy. But you still need a big body, and Iowa State is realizing that a 6'9", 240-pound, I don't care if he puts up stats, but he's going to rebound, and he's going to be a guy in the paint who will foul you.
Yeah.
And there is something to say about somebody who will do
that.
Oh,
yeah.
All right, guys, the Hy-Vee hotline is blowing up. We can't get away from this Northern Iowa conversation. Steve, thank you for calling in from Grimes tonight. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. My take on the Northern Iowa thing is that, you know, I think we should play him as much as we possibly can. So if we lose to him, of course we shouldn't go to get even a sniff of any kind of bowl. But my
right.
favorite thing is when they play us close enough and we can rip the hearts right out of those Purple Hawks.
They don't call them the Purple Hawks for nothing.
Steve, you got anything else for us, buddy?
No, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve. You're on the Hy-Vee hotline. Let's go now to Diamond Dave. Diamond, welcome to the hotline, my friend.
Good evening, Chris, Tron, and Brent.
Good evening,
Dave. What's on your mind?
Well, I don't want to talk football, and, you know, we got Texas Tech next. Can you tell me who they played in their first three opponents? Did they really get tested by any true competition? And I predict Iowa State to come out on top on that game, and then week after that, go to TCU and break those Horned Frogs down.
All right. Thank you for the call, Diamond Dave. Yep. We appreciate it. Diamond Dave there on the Hy-Vee hotline. I can tell you Texas Tech has played Northwestern State, Texas State, New Mexico. They've outscored those opponents 151-30.
A.K.A. nobody.
Yeah, they haven't played anybody, obviously. Yeah. But I will say this, too, though. I've been saying this all summer long to both of you.
You have.
This is a scary football game. I see a lot of fans not pinning in a win here. This is a tough game. This is a different Texas, though. This is a fresh Texas Tech team. This is a much better defensive Texas Tech team. And the offense is a year matured. Seth Thagy's one of the top quarterbacks in not only the Big 12, but potentially all of college football. I'm not saying I think Iowa State loses this, but do not go into this game overconfident. I will give that warning right now. I think most rational fans believe that, but this is a much better Texas Tech football team than the one that Iowa State just routed a year ago.
Well, I don't know who I was talking to, but I was telling somebody the performance that we showed against Iowa loses this ball game.
No, absolutely. Western Illinois.
One against Tulsa. I mean,
potentially.
I don't know how much offense they put up, but anytime you can score that many points, you got to be doing something right. Even on, you know, but
yeah,
to that conversation about playing those kind of teams three times in a row. What does Texas Tech know about their ball club right now?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
They know Seth Daggy's a good quarterback.
I will say
we knew that last year.
They walked into a hornet's nest at Texas State. First year FBS, we'll say that. But going on the road to any school like that, like Baylor's probably going to find out tomorrow night. I mean, that's a huge deal to Texas State.
But it's still their first year.
I know.
As an FBS,
they're basically an FCS team with the FBS status at this point.
In Texas,
I wouldn't want to go Iowa State to the Unidome, though. I mean, you know what I mean? Do you have any idea how ruckus that place would be with all those Hawk fans in there? We got to get off.
Yeah.
Texas Tech is good, and their numbers, if you look at them, are ridiculously scary as an Iowa State fan. I mean, they're one of two teams in the top 11 in both total offense and total defense. But we don't know. We know their offense is going to be good. It was good last year. Seth Daggy is a good quarterback. Defensively, though.
What does it mean? Right now they're ranked second in total defense. Does that mean anything to you?
No. I mean, they're giving up 170 yards a game, which is awesome.
160.
But, again, Iowa State gave up 180 last week to Western Illinois, and that's essentially who they have played.
Yeah.
So we don't know that. Now, Texas State scored some points against Houston, and Texas Tech held them in check. Now they've got a new defensive coordinator down there. They fired Chad Glasgow, who was there from TCU. He's now back to TCU. So there's some rivalry between those two schools. So they've got a new system. They went from a 4-2-5 to a more traditional 4-3. But they struggle to stop the run. And I don't think you can magically just stopped the run a year later. When you're as bad as they were, Chris, they gave up 270 yards rushing last year, which is that's essentially having a Heisman winner against you every week
in conference play. Safe to say, though, if Iowa State can run the football effectively.
Yeah, they're going
to
need to.
Run the football effectively, and they're going to have to create more turnovers against a Texas Tech team, then I think they win the game.
This defense will show up every game this year. We keep comparing this to the 2005 defense. Mm-hmm. This defensive front line is showing us week after week after week that they want to be here, yeah, and they're going to be a part, and that every time we get on this show, we're going to talk about the defensive line when we bring up defense. This is not when Texas Tech comes in here, it's going to be a totally looking defense. I mean, that's why we're talking about this UNI game. Mm-hmm. That's why we're talking about this Western Illinois game that we played. They scored 151 points on three teams, but so?
Yeah, they haven't seen a defense like Iowa State's yet.
No, but it's a very intriguing football game. It's a huge football game.
This is still a team that can score the ball.
Every win counts.
When you have the talent they have, Seth Dagey is a good quarterback. They get the running back, Stevens, back, who was injured for the Iowa State game last year.
Iowa State's offense will have to take it up a notch.
Completely, from what they've done so far. You can expect Tech to score somewhere in that 21 to 35 region. I think that's a safe assumption. So if you're Iowa State, can you get up there? They did it last year against Tech, but running the ball is where it's going to be. And I think Iowa State can control the clock against those guys. The best way to keep Seth Dagey off the scoreboard, not give him the ball.
There you go.
And so if they can run the ball, and they could have run the ball against Western Illinois, I think Iowa State chose not to in a lot of ways. I mean, they tried to work on that passing game.
Yeah.
But it all starts with that rush game. So those big five guys up front have been okay run blocking. They haven't been good by any means. They're going to have to turn it up a notch. I think it rests on those five guys up front. If Iowa State can control the line of scrimmage on offense, they can beat Texas Tech.
I think so, too. I don't think it's a can they beat them. I just think.
And Chris, they ran for 400 yards against them last year. So they've done it before against the Raiders. They're going to have to do it again.
Quick question to both of you before we go to our final break. What do you buy into the whole Paul Rhodes having Tommy Tuberville's number, though? Is there anything to that, or is it a coincidence that the Cyclones have just kicked their butts the last couple of years? John,
I think
you're shaking your head.
You know, he may have his number, but it's just to call him and see how he's doing, but that's about as far as it goes.
That's such a cliche.
Last year was such a weird game because Tech was coming off that win against Oklahoma. They were extremely unfocused.
Yeah.
And that was just the start of that stick of dynamite blowing up, though. They didn't win another game after they lost to Iowa State.
No, and Iowa State was really on an upward tick at that point. They had just got Barnett at quarterback. They had the spark.
And then 2 years ago, which is interesting, though, 2 years ago Iowa State had just played UNI and looked very unimpressive beating the Panthers. They beat them 28-0, but two of those touchdowns came on defensive touchdowns. And Jerome Tiller started that game, but the Cyclones only had about 320 yards of total offense. But then they go into the Tech game and put up 52. And so I don't think Tech's defense is back to a point where they can hold Iowa State under 20. But it's up to the Iowa State offense to perform. Again, like you said, Chris, right away, run the ball, cause turnovers, and by the way, don't give it to them. Because Iowa State's playing with fire with this turnover issue. They have to get that figured out.
Guys, we got to quickly get to a break, but I'll reiterate what I said earlier today in the Channel Seed podcast with Austin Arnaud. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that this turnover thing with Iowa State, I just don't see it disappearing by the end of the year. I think at some point, Steele Jantz is who he is, and if he keeps completing 70% of his passes, it's much more forgivable. But Steele with the pass would go and commit three turnovers and a half. Let's limit that down to one. I just think completely getting rid of it is somewhat unrealistic at this point.
Keep his uniform clean. He'll stop turning the ball over. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because he breaks down.
I hope you're right.
When he's got to start improvising, that's when the issues come. Keep his uniform clean. He won't turn the ball over.
It's one thing to be minus one in turnovers.
Yes.
That'd be an improvement. You can't be minus three.
That's my point. I don't see that just wiping this thing clean, but if you can limit them. That's the key.
Limit those, and then also get some on your side, too.
Yeah.
You can't go
through
games.
Which they will. That will happen.
Yeah. I agree.
That will happen. I'm not too worried about that. All right, guys. Energy Solutions of America can help you save up to 50% on your utility bill with a little thing called Energy Shields. Energy Solutions are going to place this reflective insulation over your existing insulation. It works just like a blanket. It reflects heat back
towards its source. So in the summer, it's pushing that heat away from your home. In the winter, it's reflecting the heat back inside. It works pretty neat. See the difference. Energy Solutions. Give them a call today. Their number is 515-965-0309. Again, that number, 515-965-0309. We're going to look ahead to the big games in college football and the Big 12 right after this on the Cyclone Fanatic Colin Show here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. Back after this on 1460 KXNO.
Hey, Cyclone Fanatics, Chris Williams here. And one of the things I love about going into Mr. B's each week to chat Cyclones with Tim Sitzman, I get to watch how the store is run. Every customer is greeted sincerely. They're catered to their entire time they're in the store. The customer service is just really fun to watch. The employees are friendly. Let me tell you this, they know their stuff. So if you've never been to Mr. B's, trust me, you've got to check it out. They are the absolute best. That's Mr. B Clothing for men and women, located on 86th Street in Clive.
Hey there, Cyclone Nation. This is Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames. Consider this your personal invitation for the greatest car buying experience of your life. Located at 2212 South Duff Avenue in Ames, Wilson Toyota has been proudly serving Iowa Staters for decades, and we're proud to be the official car dealership of CycloneFanatic.com. Stop on in and check out our terrific selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Or feel free to give me a call personally at 515-598-2029. Tell us that Cyclone Fanatic sent you, and as always, go Cyclones.
The Cyclone Fanatic Thursday Night Call-In Show is back for the 2012-13 Iowa State Athletics season, and it's better than ever. I'm Chris Williams. Join Brent Bloom, Tron Smith, and me every Thursday night from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO, as we'll be talking Cyclones, the Big 12, and so much more from Kippy's Place in Elkhart, home of the best burgers in the world. This is a call-in show, so we want to hear from you every Thursday from 7 to 8 right here on 1460 KXNO. See what a
smile can do. At Hy-Vee, your health is what matters most.
That's why we offer hundreds of organic and heart-healthy foods.
Expertise in disease management and over 100 in-store dietitians. See what a smile. We'll customize a diet and exercise program for you and your family. We're your personal health team, here to keep you healthy and happy.
Want the inside scoop to what's going on with 1460 KXNO and a shot at even more great prizes? Then join the KXNO fan club online at KXNO.com. The best part is it's absolutely free. You'll earn KXNO fan club points just by listening to KXNO and by keeping up with KXNO on Facebook and Twitter. Then use your points for chances to win tickets, gift certificates, and other great prizes from Des Moines Sports Station. 1460 KXNO.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Thank you for that, Mr. Pollard. We appreciate it. Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Call-In Show here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart. We're here every Thursday night from 7 to 8 on 1460 KXNO. Every Thursday during the football season, that is. All right, gentlemen, we got to do a little firing off here of Big 12 football. Nice to have a little bit of a, you know, a bye week for Iowa State, at least from where Brent and I sit. We'll kick our feet up a little bit on Saturday night.
Absolutely.
Watch some games. Baylor going to Louisiana Monroe on Friday night. The spread for this game is 7 points in favor of the Bears. Louisiana Monroe, here's my take. They won at Arkansas. They almost beat Mighty Gene Chizik in Auburn last week. I think they run out of gas. I think Baylor got a little bit of a scare there in the first half against Sam Houston State. I like the Bears by, give me a 13-point spread on that one, Brent Bloom.
I actually think they might lose outright, the Bears.
How did I know
that's
that?
That's a scary game. Why
Very
Baylor,
scary game,
why,
right?
why Baylor is going to Louisiana Monroe on a nationally televised game. You know they're going to be fired up. Monroe's good. That's not an act. You don't just go in and beat Arkansas, and you don't just play. They should have beat Auburn, too. Auburn needed a Hail Mary at halftime to make that thing interesting. But what Baylor still has a problem is they can't stop anybody. And they gave up 550 yards to SMU in the opener. Now, they won that game by 35 points. And then they gave up 450 to a division FBS team, FCS team in Sam Houston State. That's not good. They were 118th in the nation defense last year, but they got away with it because they had RG3. Mm-hmm. This year they don't. They cannot outscore teams.
They'll outscore Louisiana.
Well, it's gonna be tough. I mean, that could be a rude awakening. Monroe's good. We're going to find out if Baylor's can win without RG3. That's a tough test before conference play.
Tron, who wins that game?
Well, Baylor will win that game. I know it's tough. But I'm not disagreeing with you. I think we're going to get a lot of questions.
It's going to be close.
We're going to get a lot of those questions we had last week when we were talking about Baylor and where they're rated. We're going to get a lot of those answered this week with Louisiana Monroe. The nice thing about that, back to playing those kind of schools, that'll give you a go.
Absolutely.
We're going to find out who the Baylor Bears are. I think they will win the game, though, Chris. I agree with you. I don't see Louisiana Monroe going in and just outright beating Baylor. Baylor's going to have to help them a little bit if they're going to lose that ball game.
Here's the deal. Baylor is still not good on the road. They have won 3 road games in 10 years. And their only one win on the road last year, with RG3, mind you, was at Kansas, and they needed every little last second of that game to win that. But they got blown out every other game.
All right, so we all like Baylor, except Bloom's going with Monroe.
Yeah,
He's picking the upset.
That'd be 2 of 3 if I did quick math.
We don't have much time, so let's just go to the big one. Kansas State at Oklahoma. Wild Bill Snyder is my boy. They are, a touchdown dog in this one.
Two touchdown dog.
Last year, Oklahoma really stuck it to Kansas State. I like Kansas State not to win the game. I think that they keep this one close, though, on Saturday night. Tron?
Don't like Oklahoma, but I'm taking Oklahoma.
Do you think they do it by two touchdowns?
I think they will. I think this is the perfect opportunity for Oklahoma to go in, flex his muscles, and say, I am the best team in the Big 12.
Wow, Kansas State being disrespected. What a shock. Brent Bloom?
Oklahoma always has one September game or early October game where they slap people around and make a statement. And everybody says, oh, my gosh, who's going to beat Oklahoma?
And then they lose at home to a Texas Tech.
Well, and guess what happens? They play K-State this week. They'll beat them by 20, whatever it is. And then Tech comes – then they go to Tech 2 weeks from now, and then a bye week in between. So I think this is the game where Stoops and company make a statement. Landry Jones looks awesome. Colin Klein does not have the arm to bring K-State back in a high-scoring game. If K-State can keep it in the 20s, they have a shot. If it gets 30 or above, they don't have a chance to hang with the Sooners.
Guys, TCU lost their starting running back this week. They're getting really low on the depth. That's what we've been talking about. Tron, we talked about that a lot on Saturday. They got Virginia at home. I don't think they lose that game, but I think Iowa State's game in 3 weeks looks a lot better.
I don't think they lose that game, but we've been talking about it all preseason. They're not even a Big 12 conference play yet, and they're already losing players. It's going to be tough for those two schemes, and I'm including West Virginia,
absolutely,
to go through this conference.
But don't say that.
Make it there.
Bloom thinks West Virginia's winning the national title.
I really don't care what Bloom thinks. I'm telling you, they're not going to come in and just waltz through the Big 12 and make it without injuries.
The Big East is different than the Mountain West. Let's get that straight, okay?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't believe that for
a
second.
Physically it is. Physically, it's different. And TCU has 15 true freshmen. That's a problem for a team playing in the Big 12.
Especially for the first year, you don't know what it's all about.
Most in any of college football, 15 true freshmen.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Guys, thanks a lot. We will see you next week. Next week's show will be a lot more intense, I have a feeling, with the big game and college game day potentially coming to town in only 2 days. But thank you very much for coming. Thanks to John Sellers and Steve Young. I want to let everybody know we're doing this bus trip to the Kansas game coming up in November. Go to the football forums at CycloneFanatic.com. $85. It'll get you a bus ride down there, get you a ticket for the game. First charter we're ever done at Cyclone Fanatic, so please support us. And it's a great way to go and see the Cyclones on a road game. So thanks to Tron Smith and Brent Bloom, as always. Again, we'll be back next Thursday here at Kippy's Place in Elkhart from 7 to 8 on 1460 KXNO.